very good morning to you. Welcome into today's program. We've two gentlemen who are quite happy sitting in front of me today, and they should be. We'll be talking about GAA and sport in the west of Ireland and in Galway. Today also we're looking at some issues in relation to organ donation, and one lady tells us her story. We're going to unpost about the news of zero there, and I don't mean zero money, but you know what I'm talking about. Also, that plaque that was unveiled in Galway City yesterday in the memory of Eileen Costello O'Shaughnessy. We have a lovely package from David Nevin on that, of those who attended. That and much more between now and 12 midday. Common lines are open on 0917-007-77 and 53995. Now, a very good morning to you. The Galway GAA convention was held last night, and I'm joined in studio by Paul Bellew, who's chairperson of the Galway GAA, and by Mark Gotcha as well, finance manager. And for all the years that I've covered an event like this, I think it's one of the most positives that I've come across. Paul and Mark, good morning to both of you. Can I pull you right in there, if you don't mind, Mark? Thanks for joining us. Paul, a very positive night last night.
Morning, Keith. It was indeed. Convention's always a good time to look back, and more importantly to look forward, but it was a very positive night last night, I have to say. I think clubs and delegates were very happy where we are on the field, and I think off the field as well. You know, we had a very strong year on a number of fronts, very strong operating surplus, great work done by Mark and Mike on that front, and I think there's just a general sense now that things are moving in a really good direction and that momentum should stay going forward.
Mark, well done on the work that you've done. I spoke to you when you went in there, but it was a mammoth task, but you must be delighted with last night's events.
Yeah, no, I suppose the year in itself in isolation was great, that that we generated the surplus. I suppose as a community organisation, we're not there to make profits, we're there to balance the books and make sure that we're able to generate enough income to cover our expenditure, and we've done that. We've managed to build up a little bit of a nest egg there with the surplus, but each year has its own merits. A lot of it is dependent on the performance of our county teams. The further they go, the more cost, but also the more opportunity it has to raise funds, and you'll see that in the accounts.
When I read, I might just put you in front of that, sorry Mark, I know that's perfect there if you don't mind. But when I read in the report, it's a 4.5 million euro business run by 5 permanent people and an officer base, which claimed a total of 128 euro throughout the whole year. That's some achievement. It's a big business.
Yeah, I felt it was important to mention that in my address last night. You know, Galway is a massive county, Keith. It's a very successful one. It is dual county. There's pressures on all sides to keep, you know, there's no lax area in Galway where you don't look after one side of it. And to have, as I said, 5 permanent staff to do the work they do to deliver what's heading for a 5 million euro business. And then a volunteer base, a management committee of 25 people and more outside that, you know, operating, as I said, I think the expense figure was 128 euro. I don't know how sustainable that is, but it's testament to them. And I do want to thank all of them this morning. But look, it shows again their commitment, the people's interest in it and the drive they have and the energy they're giving to it at the moment. So yeah, very impressive, and it should be noted, and I think it was important that I acknowledged that last night.
And I mean, when you came in as chairman, you said you were going to do X, Y and Z, and you've delivered exactly what you said. How hard has that been?
We're delivering, I would say. There was things last night I mentioned that I wouldn't be, you know, we didn't get as far with that we would like to. But there is movement in some areas, and then other areas have moved on brilliantly. And again, you know, our games are the main thing that we do, and we've had success on that front and a lot. But again, on the PR front, with Michelle Healy as our PRO, our image and our brand, I don't think has ever been stronger. So, as I said, we've a management committee of 20 people, 12 of them in new positions since last year. And I think just everybody's brought that energy, Keith, and that positivity. So, yeah, we set out what we wanted to do, and that's been our roadmap, and we're delivering on it. And we've a lot more to do in the coming year.
And Mark, I mean, if you take COVID and you take gate takings and you take all of that down and just coming out of it, it's an amazingly successful year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose looking at the gates, it's a testament of the clubs and the players playing for them. It's them that the public come to see. They turn out in their thousands every weekend. And it shows what a great competition we have in our club championships, both senior, intermediate and even down through the junior games. We had an under 20 replay on a Wednesday night, which had a massive crowd. So it's a testament to the clubs and the quality of players they're producing, that people want to go and see them play.
And I know there's very little cash now, so there is, but it's all, a lot of it is done digitally, you buy online and all of that. Does that make it cleaner because you know then exactly what's going into the account on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, absolutely makes it cleaner, but even in terms of planning, in terms of organising stores and stuff like that, you have a very good idea of the numbers that are going to be coming to your gate on match day. At the minute, the split is probably 80% online, 20% paying on the gate. Obviously, we want to try and encourage more people to buy online in advance. There is, I suppose, cost savings, reduced ticket price online. So it's going the right direction, but we obviously understand as well that there is a need to provide the option to pay at the gate because not everyone's able to get online to buy the ticket.
Yeah, they might have a card. So it's just streamlining the whole situation. I never actually thought, Paul, when you think about what Mark said, that if there's 10,000 tickets sold, you're going to need a lot more stewards who are volunteers as well. Well, I mean, that type of data was never there before.
Yeah, and data is very important to the run of an organisation of that size at the moment. And even on the intercounty front, the way tickets were distributed this year for the All-Ireland, it was, you know, all done directly. People were buying, and Mark took the lead on that, and it was 98% of that was extremely successful. And data, as you said, drives a lot of what we do now, even on social media, things like that, streaming. That data allows us to predict a lot, Keith, and allows us to plan. And we're a lot more efficient organisation. You know, maybe that's why we can do it with five people and the volunteer base that we have.
There is no business in town or in the county that's running at 4.5 million euro business with five people.
No, there isn't. And I said, we look at it as a volunteer organisation. That's the idea of it, you know.
Yeah, but there is volunteers in the background, of course.
And they do keep that going. But the ask now is that we take it to the next level in the coming year as well.
And from a Croke Park point of view, you must be the shining light in Croke Park as a...
I don't know about that now, Keith. They don't like to see me coming sometimes on the games front, but I think from Mark and Mike's perspective,
yeah.
I think we were in Croke Park a couple of months back just on a couple of items where we had a good day with Croke Park, and I have to say they were very complimentary of where Mark and Mike and Seamus have got everything to. And, you know, I do say it, I don't say it lightly, we're in a good position, but we still have, you know, a little bit of a millstone, but we've parked it. We know we have to pay. We give out 335k back a year on a loan. Like, if we had that to play with as well, things would be even more advanced.
Is that loan for...
That's up until, yeah, up
Mountain
until
West
up
or?
Until 2028. And but we've parked that now. We've dealt with it. But Mark and Croke Park came to a deal there. We're happy with where that is. So we're operating, you know, with that in the background. And still, as I said, achieving pretty good things on top of that. So they were very happy, I have to say, with how things have been turned around the last two or three years, you know.
But could they use the Galway business model in other counties?
Every county has a different one, you know. I think Galway is unique. There's certain counties that are dual, you know, that is the case. It would be great to be looked in as the model county. You know, that would be a change in things. But no, every county is different. But we still have a lot of work to do, and you know that would be one thing I would be saying. We still would like to build up some cash reserves. We've a lot of work to do on infrastructure. Mm. We're looking at lights in the stadium as a something to achieve in the next 12 to 15 months. So it's not as if everything is perfect. We have a lot of work to do, and we have a lot of plans that we'll be hoping the Galway public will get behind with us actually in next year as well.
And Marge, I mean, from a financial point of view, what you've done since you came in has been tremendous with Mike Burke as well. Mike's a wonderful guy. I mean, you work with him, but he's great passion for the GAA.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I suppose he's a successful businessman in his own right, and just having that knowledge to tap into is great. He's very commercially astute. He sees opportunities that are out there in the commercial market. So it is great to have him there in his position, and really looking forward to working with him again for another year.
Mm. And he's a property developer, and he's a businessman, and his head is well screwed on. So it is.
Yeah, no, he's very clued into the environment, and he's. He knows, he gets a very good sense of the mood of the GAA in Galway from people he meets in his businesses. So it's great to have that. He's done a great job since he's come in as treasurer, and I suppose we have another year now to look forward to as well.
I suppose I'm looking at the back end, but then if we could look at what's happening on the pitch then as well. I mean, it hasn't been a bad year, but to be honest, it's a lot has been achieved in a very short space of time when we look at on the pitch stuff.
Yeah, it was a good year. It was solid. To win All-Ireland at minor level is always is great, to bring home an All-Ireland title. I've often said our hurling teams all lost out narrowly to the eventual All-Ireland champions in each of the grades. And our senior football team, you know, got back to Croke Park on All-Ireland final day, which we want to be in a lot more. And that brought a massive boost. And I think you probably noticed what it does to a county when you get to an All-Ireland final. Yeah. And that engenders a lot of positivity around the county as well. So we've benefited massively from that as well. I think we have to acknowledge that, not just from a fundraising point of view, but from a positivity and mood factor as well. And look, I think the success of those teams, both in hurling and football, the managers we have in terms of Henry and Porrick, their status in the game, you know, probably there's no harm in a renewal of our latest sponsorship deal in terms of the value that we've derived from that. So it's all good. You know, what happens on the field, Keith, really sets the tone and sets the mood, and we want to stay there now.
It does, but what I get from last night's event, guys, in the Loughrea Hotel and Spa, is just positivity coming out of it. We've had many, with no disrespect in the past, but over 30 years on air, we've had many negative days sitting in this studio. But today's a very positive day, and last night was a very positive night.
Yeah, and we're only concerned about the future. And it's
what happened in
forward.
The past is gone, that's it.
Can't change the past. I said, I think we just want to know where we are now. And again, communication is a big part of what we'd be trying to do and let people know what's going on. And I said, the work of Michelle on that front has been exceptional. And it's just to show people what's going on. There's a lot of interest in the organisation at the moment, commercially, opportunity-wise. There's people want to be associated with it. People want to get involved. And as I said, we'll be doing a bit of work in the corporate space next year from a financial point of view, and we will be launching a county-wide fundraising drive as well for the county in terms of our infrastructure projects, like all our county grounds. We have 5 county grounds, Keith. We're the only county in the country that has that, but we want to maintain and up the standard across the board. And as I said, we'll be hoping to get the goodwill of the county behind us from next March onwards, and we'll have details of that next year too.
Mark didn't go white there, so that's okay. He didn't go pale white on that. No.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Achievable.
Obviously, we probably operate on a very tight budget during the two years of COVID. But our grounds do need investment. And like I said before, there is massive opportunities out there. The draw that we'll be launching will have a club element, so clubs will benefit from it as well if they get involved. But no, it's. We're looking forward to the year ahead. Probably as we stand, we're probably 40-45% of our income, if we were aiming for 4.5, guaranteed already for next year, based on the end of our club championships there, sponsorship deals, what we get from Croke Park and O'Neill's. So we're in a good position as we head into January and the inter-county season.
Good. And looking then to the future for this year, Paul, you've closed the books early. Is this one of the early... Is this the earliest that the convention has been held?
Yeah, I think a November convention is rare, but I mean that's due to a number of circumstances. The split season, Croke Park have been pulling everything forward. The financial year has come back a month, and you know we were ready to go. And Keith, as well, I mean this when I say it. It's so intense for the people that are involved. It can be, as I said, it's a quick year, but the days are long, but the year is short, if that makes any sense.
And
we just kind of felt this year, let's get our business done, let's get it over, let's get it out there, and you know, let's give people a bit of decompression time coming up to Christmas. And you know, it's important to have energy to go again. So yeah, everything has been done early, but that's kind of in line with the way things are going within the GAA as well.
And is the All-Ireland going to stay where it is? Because people can't get their head around this early All-Ireland at all.
Yeah, I think they are struggling with it in some senses, but on the club front, I can't explain how beneficial it is to our players on the ground. And, you know, again, you know, there was headline things the last couple of days about how much money we spent on our county teams again, which I say we believe is fully justified. The sponsorship deal with Supermax yesterday jumped out, but another big area that I just think, relative, Keith, a lot of people wouldn't know this, for our club games to generate 1.4 million between commercial income, gates and streaming is completely off the charts. There are some counties that our hurling championship gates will be bigger than their football and hurling combined together, the interest levels. And that's because our club players have structured games. They get 3 or 4 months of their own window. So I'm a fan of the split season. I know some people are struggling with it, but it's good for Galway.
So you say leave well enough alone.
Leave well enough alone. This chopping and changing every 2 years, it's no good for anyone.
Mm. Mark, when will you shut down for Christmas? Will you keep going or will you decompress sooner?
Yeah, well, I suppose the senior county teams are back training now, so it's a matter of putting different things that the backroom team there are in place in the run up to Christmas, so they have them heading into the FPD League and the Walsh Cup. It's probably going to be a little bit quieter for the month of December, but we'll probably be going for another 2-3 weeks.
No rest for the wicked, Paul Pellew.
No, it doesn't stop. I think that's the one thing, you're always on, you know, and that's the flip side of the split season, and as I say, inter-county coming back. But look, it's our passion. We enjoy doing it. We're in a good climate at the moment. That does make it a little bit easier and a little bit more positive. But no, we'll re-energise and go again. We've a couple of small things to tick off. We've a launch, a partnership with Stanta College to be announced next Monday night, where we have a big event in the Clayton, which is an exciting partnership for the athletic development of all our young players in Galway. And then we might wind down a little bit.
And the naming rights for Pearce Stadium came up last night.
Yeah, and Mike mentioned last night, you know, again, I've mentioned that we have interest, you know, we have talks going on. There's a couple of people that, you know, see that as an attractive option, or we'll see where it goes in the new year. We have to run it by our own management committee and our own county committee if it's something we
and
want to
proceed. It has to be appropriate
with.
To the GAA.
It has to be appropriate, exactly. You've hit the nail.
You don't take it for the sake of taking it.
No.
It couldn't be Shanghai Stadium in Salt Hill.
Exactly. No, we're very conscious of that, and we will act responsibly. And look, we know the value of what we're doing, Keith, on this front. Mark is very aware. Mike is commercially very astute, working in an environment that needs that commercial element too. We know the value of Galway GAA. We won't be giving it away lightly. Mm-hmm. As I said, we closed an unbelievable deal with Supermax in the last week. The investment they're giving us of 2.25 million over 5 years, whether we win a match or not, is some commitment over 5 years to get a term like that. And then that's per year, and then a bonus structure, you know, of potential 2 million over those 5 years as well. It shows the confidence, I suppose, they have in us. And as I said, we won't be giving away anything too cheaply. So yeah, there may be news.
And don't, because the brand is very strong.
The brand is very strong.
Brand
so
is
no,
very strong.
And I guarantee you the lads won't let me or anyone else. So no, look, we'll see where that goes. There is potential. As I said, the stadium is an attractive option because we expect to light it in the next 15 months as well, you know.
I agree with everything that's been said and look forward to the new year. Is there any plans for developing Duggan Park? I'm going to start a campaign in the new year. That comes from Joe Kelly. That'd be one of the five grounds, wouldn't it?
Oh, 1 in 5 grounds we upgrade, yeah. But I mean, everything in Galway is scheduled. It'll be run by Galway in terms of we prioritise, we know what we're doing internally. Some of our pitches need specific areas of work. We have work underway in Loch George. Tuam is to come, Pearce Stadium, and then we'll be looking at Athenry and Ballinasloe.
Why have they stopped OAPs from going to matches this year? You haven't stopped OAPs.
No, we absolutely have not, and that is categoric. And, you know...
You couldn't get away with that.
We're one of the few counties that has facilitated cash payment because of OAPs. And not only that, we have a price point that is reduced, that there's 10 euros, 15 euros was most games, and 10 euros, it was 10 euros for OAPs. There was discount for OAPs, and they had the ability to pay cash. We were actually the absolute opposite of that, so... that information, I'm afraid, is inaccurate.
And, you have to figure this one out. Why was the Galway hurling final not on TG Cahir? That's all your fault now.
Two reasons. We have a very strong streaming brand. And for Galway to stream the game,
it was revenue
it's
for
worth
you.
3.5 times the amount of revenue. Also, if the game is on TV, it leads to a significantly reduced attendance at the game. That doesn't apply as much on streaming. So, you know, if it's...
So the business model needs...
Yeah, and if it...
Tickets and streaming.
If it fitted, and, you know, we're not against taking it. The also side of it is TG4's schedule had two club semi-finals in Munster as well. So we're not averse to it, but we're very clear our choice is to keep it ourselves. And again, make no apologies for that.
All right, thanks for joining us today. That's Galway GAA Chair Paul Pellew and Mark Gotcha, who's Finance Manager with Galway GAA as well. Well done to Mike Burke as well. He's very shy. He wouldn't come in with you today, no?
No, Mike did his talking last night. In fairness, he's willing
did
to
he
leave,
the, did he bang
leave
the
that
table?
To us.
No, he didn't bang the table, but he's publicity shy. He likes to operate in the background.
We'll find him. I'll find him out in the pierhead. We'll record a piece with him in the coming weeks.
1 hour sit down, Keith, with him is what you'll be looking for in the new year.
He'd probably enjoy that, I think.
Yeah, we might do that over the Christmas period. Unless he's out fishing for lobsters, you never know. He was in a tank of lobsters for long enough. But anyway, there you go. Thanks for joining us today. Quick commercial break. We're back to the lady who had a transplant 20 years ago. That and more next. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Well, new legislation was brought in during the week in relation to organ donation and the opting out of organ donation. A lady who joined me many years ago is called Fiona Hardiman-Burke, and she joins me on the line because she is celebrating the 20th year of the double transplant on the 23rd of December, 20 years ago. Fiona joins me on the line. Fiona, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. I mean, you're one of the great success stories in life. You had a kidney and a pancreas transplant 20-odd years ago?
20 years ago, yes. It's Christmas now, and it was just, I haven't looked back a day since. I'm so healthy.
And it was fairly pioneering then, would it be fair to say?
There would have been about 8 to 9 patients before me, yes, at the time, but it seems to be been very successful for any of those. Now, in some of have passed with other issues and that with the double transplant, but I seem to be doing very well anyway, and there's many more as well because of organ donation.
And again, we promote organ donation as often as we can on the programme here, and it's very important. But this new legislation should make it easier, because sometimes family members and others are in a very traumatic situation when a machine has been switched off or a pending death is just around the corner, and they don't know what decision to make.
That's right, yes. And I think because of that, people, and the way life has been so busy now for everybody, people don't even realise it until they're in the situation of what's going on, you know, in the background, unless they're aware of people that's on dialysis or looking for liver transplants, you know, anything. It, you know, life is so busy for everyone. If they're not aware of it, nobody's going to know. So I think it's a great thing. If you're in, you're in. Unless, you know, when it comes to that time, then, as you say, family people can be in or out. And yeah, it's a good thing. When people don't have cards and, you know, yourself now, life's so busy.
It is, but I mean, the new legislation means that if there are organs that can be harvested, which is an awful way of putting it, but, you know, that's the term that they use. But if they can be harvested, they can be harvested for the likes of you and the people that are on the waiting list for the various transplants. But if a family member has a concern, they can voice that concern. That will be taken into account as well.
Of course. Yeah. And like that, the waiting lists are so long now as well. You know, there's so many more people in the country and a lot more organ failure with longer living people, and people are getting older and living longer. So it's a good thing, and it's a sad thing for somebody else, you know.
And can I ask you, Fiona Hardiman-Burke, I mean, has life been good over the last 20 years, or do you have to mind yourself on an ongoing basis?
Life has been very good. I've got family behind me, but like that, I look after myself as well. I try to keep fit, exercise. I do enjoy a good night out, but I try to hold back and look after yourself again. And, you know, I live a normal life, to be honest with you. I don't, you know, all I do is take my medication twice a day. And after that, it's kind of carry on. And I go to Merlin Park and to see Dr. Neve Kiernan. It's a great team up there, and every 3 months only, and 2 bloods, and if everything is good, you don't hear from them, and if you need any adjustment, medication or anything, they just call you back and you get that sorted. So that's all I do. Hospital every 3 months for bloods at the minute, thank God, and we're so lucky.
And do you remember 20 years ago needing the transplant, and the way you felt prior to the transplant to the way you feel after the transplant and now?
Oh, for sure. I was on dialysis, and I was lucky enough, only for 6 months. And in and out 3 times a week. Eventually, I kind of went back to work and did my dialysis after work. The tiredness, the fatigue, lack of appetite, it's just total change. Within 1 or 2 days after the transplant, I could see change in me. My energy levels and everything was just unbelievable. Now, like that, you have a few hiccups here and there, but it takes a good 6 months, you say, to get back to yourself, or, you know, and get back to normal body feeling. But I feel great, full energy.
Which is delightful, so it is, after 20 years. And again, those 3 month checkups thing just gives you the...
A reassurance
is the word. Yes? It's a lovely word to use, so the reassurance just to keep going on what you're at, and you're doing everything right. And the organs in question. Do you often think of the family members of those that donated the organs?
Of course. You'll always think of those people. And like that, now with the anniversary coming up on the 23rd, I will always go to the church and have a little prayer, a light, a candle. Or if I'm in town any day, I would go in and just light a candle. They'll be always at the back of your mind. But after a year of my transplant, you get to write to the people we got the organs from, or the person, and let the family know. And it's really up to them then to let, you know, if they want to know more or whatever, but they kind of just leave it if not. But they heard about all my success after it, and it's just, I'd say it's good for those as well.
It was tough on them 20 years ago, heading into Christmas.
Oh, yes, yeah. Heading, you would always think of that. Yeah.
Christmas and the tragedy that unfolded that allowed you to get the wonderful transplant that you've got. And again, did you spend much time in hospital 20 years ago? I know, no.
I was 2 weeks in after the transplant, and basically I came home after the 2 weeks. Now, I did have to go up then to Beaumont 3 times a week for bloods and check it, and eventually they start reducing it, and then it was kind of every 3 months, then, like I'm doing in Galway at the minute.
That's it,
and you just carry on, and they just kind of say that my doctor at the time, Dr. David Hickey, is a wonderful man. He just said, go live your life, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
He is a wonderful man and was a wonderful man. I met him at a coffee morning many years in a neighbour's house, a neighbour of a family that he had helped greatly indeed. But what a lovely, honest to God gentleman that he was.
Gentleman, exactly, yeah. Now, I still have contacted him, little things after having my son, if he had any goals, like his communion or confirmation or his birthday, I would always send him a picture, and he loved it. He'd always take you back and say, thanks, great, you're doing well. And it's good, it's lovely to have that contact still with him.
It is, but you know what? It's that type of contact they need to give them, just to give them the energy to continue with their job, because, I mean, it's a very demanding career that he's in when it comes to transplanting, and that it really and truly is. But thank God it worked for you, which is the most important thing. And this new law that's in, indeed, hopefully will open up capacity to organ harvesting for other people, so they can benefit from it as well.
Oh, yes, for sure. I would say so. And hopefully it will come through, and there'll be a lot more transplant patients, as it's cheaper to have a transplant patient for the HSE than on dialysis, so they say. And we know the way the HSE and money is now, is it the health board? It's a vicious circuit, as you would call it.
It is a vicious circle. Listen, it's lovely to talk to you again. I know you're in studio, it's a few years ago, but it's great to talk to you again. Again, just to remind people, like, it's 20 years ago, this 23rd of December, and we'll all spare a prayer on that Friday indeed for you and for all the other recipients of organs, but also to the family members who have lost loved ones, so that it could facilitate organ donation as well. Fiona Hardiman-Burke, thank you for joining us today. And again, keep safe, keep strong, and have a good Christmas.
You too, Keith, and thank you.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
A very good morning to you. Well, Ampost achieved gender pay equality for the second successive year and look to continue increasing their female employee ratio as well. Eleanor Nash is the Chief People Officer with Ampost. She'll join us shortly there. But Ampost has become the first major employer in Ireland to report a zero gender pay gap for the second year in a row. Since 2019, the company, which employs 9,000 employees, has achieved significant progress in balancing representation across the business. There's a 50-50 balance in the management board, and female representation in the senior management group has increased from 33 to 41%, up 7% from 2021. And Eleanor joins me on the line today. Eleanor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
What exactly is Chief People Officer? Are you looking out for the employees?
Absolutely. Our responsibility is to ensure that all our people's strategy is linked to overall supporting the business here at John Post.
I'll make you just closer to the microphone on your phone there, if you don't mind. Again, with 9,000 employees, that has to be a challenge in itself.
Well, look, it's a great job, so I'm very fortunate.
And again, for 2 years in a row to have achieved this is quite an achievement.
Yes, I mean, I think it's fair, like, we're very proud of it, but we've done a lot of work, and really it's about our people and posting our women. And for us, it's really, really to ensure that we represent the communities we serve every day and have that diversity across the organisation.
To stay with me, Eleanor, if you don't mind, Stephanie Collins joins me. She's a postal operative based out of the main depot in Galway and covers the rural delivery route in the Uachtaráid area. Stephanie, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Keith. How are you?
On a fine day, you have the finest route in the country, so you have.
I have, and if you'd like to know where I am this minute, I'm pulled in down in Birchall and I'm looking out onto the Corrib. I'm very privileged.
But coming back to the, first off, you do a great job. You and all of your colleagues, indeed, retired, past and present, do a fine job on a daily basis. And you shouldn't be taken for granted either. But this is a great report, so it is.
It is. It's wonderful. It's great. And I think on PUS, they really are trying. And, you know, even this morning I looked around and I had 8 female colleagues around me. Just this morning, so I think it's we're going forward. It's a good report.
It is, and again, you're the face of On Post on a daily basis, and not just are you the face of On Post, but I mean, you might be the only contact in the house on the run that you're doing.
Yes. Oh yes, like I have a very rural duty. I'm very privileged that I have all of the Corrib in to my left side as I'm driving, because I drive from, we'll say, from parish down Fahy area all the way to Tullochine. So I have a lovely, lovely duty. Now, a lot of my duty would be elderly people.
Yeah.
And you will make it your business to try and make contact with people every day. You may not meet the same people, but you will try. And, you know, at some stage in the week, you'll always have a delivery for some house. And, I mean, especially when COVID was here, it was very difficult because we didn't actually go anywhere near the houses. We sort of stood outside as much as we could. But,
yeah.
You know, it was actually reassuring that the elderly people would come and stand at the window, and if they had something for us to post, we'd take. And, you know, it was kind of like all working together.
Yeah, it's a point of contact, so it is really and truly. And you feel, I mean, by surrounded by 8 female colleagues out in the Unpost centre on the Tume Road there. I mean, you're
Tume Road, yes. Yeah. So, well, that was just around me this morning.
Yeah, and that's not because you were coming on the radio saying hello to them, was it?
No. No, not at all.
No.
But I did ask them why they like to work, why they like to be post people, we'll say postal operatives. And they all said it was being out in the community, being out in the fresh air. We have a very, very healthy job. We're out in the fresh air. We certainly don't need to be taking extra vitamin D. We have it all. we have our levels, and we step up. So we're very lucky, really, and we have really lovely customers. And the depot, it's a really lovely place to work. We get on very well with everybody. Everybody's very friendly. Great camaraderie, really.
And Eleanor, is it different for you then? Are you based in headquarters in GPO in Dublin then, or do you get to jump into the post van as well and check things out?
No, I am. I'm actually, yes, I am based in the GPO. I suppose the COVID, we didn't get around to depots the same way we would like to. But no, I do go to mail centres and see people. And I have my own post operative who actually happens to be female as well. So when she comes to the door, I'm always asking her, you know, how they are. And her depot is based in, you know, near me. So it's important that, you know, that we support all our employees, all our frontline colleagues. And that, you know, for us, we try and get as much as we can. But, you know, yes, I am in the GPO most days.
It's a lovely story, and it's a credit indeed to Unpost and the crew. And so you have a lady in your communications office there, so you have Eleanor with strong Galway roots, with the Carey family in Saltill as well. And she's so proud of those roots, so she is. And she's so proud of Unpust, and she represents Unpust in a lovely way as well. Eleanor Nash, thanks for joining us. Stephanie, will you blow the horn now as you're passing by all these houses? Because the people that you're delivering to today are always listening to this programme. And
they are.
When you come into Tully yeah, Kine, go into the shop there and pick up a bag of feed for me. Will you please?
I will.
Yeah, just deliver that home on the way as well. It's lovely to have you, and it's a great story and a lovely story. So it is. And thanks to Eleanor Nash for joining us there. And also thank you to Eleanor Nash, but to Stephanie Collins, who's on that route as well. A sincere thank you. Now, though, let me go to this and this because I want
Galway
to.
Galway Bay FM with your local Mace. Savings with a smile all through the Christmas season.
A little bit of music this morning. Let's go to the Whileaways and their Christmas offering, which is absolutely beautiful. And this will bring us towards news at 10.
The big wheel is up in Air Square. It must be Christmas. And I really wish you were here. It must be Christmas. There's a different feel in the air. It must be Christmas. That same old song snuck in my.
In association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.